Well, amen. Grab your Bible tonight. We're going to go right back to Philippians chapter number 1, where we were this morning. Those of you who were in other services this morning, I saw Brother Vincent, you were up in the Spanish church this morning. Did you understand any of it? A few things, amen. I thought that was great. I appreciate you supporting Brother Alex. But we, of course, began this morning a brand new series of messages. And we are going to do over the next few months an expository, verse by verse, word by word study of the great book of Philippians. And we're going to begin tonight where we left off. Let's stand together real quick. We're going to read chapter 1. Verses 1 and verse 2. And I appreciate you being back tonight. And again, God has been good. As Dr. Money said a minute ago, it's been a great day to be in the Lord's house. And I want to add tonight to a little bit of what we saw this morning. I won't re-preach, especially over this series. I'm going to be doing a lot of Sunday morning and Sunday night, so I'll try not to spend too much time reviewing, but I want to make sure we all catch the great theme of our opening verses. I'll begin reading verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Rob Sutherland, lift your voice, Brother Rob, and pray for us, and we'll jump into the message tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much again for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you so much for the folks that are here. I ask that you just please cleanse our hearts, Lord, convict us of any sin, and I pray that there would be nothing between you and us. Lord, I pray that you please give pastors the liberty to speak. I pray that you just take away all distractions, and I pray that you would just lead, guide, and direct, and all that's done. Thank you so much for your love, and thank you for your Son. In Christ we pray.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Rob. Of course, we learned this morning the theme of this great book of the Bible is joy in Jesus. I mentioned this morning, Brother Paul Chapel believes the theme of the book is rejoicing in Christ. John MacArthur said that Christ is the source of our joy and strength. Max Lucado said the theme of this book is the guide to joy. I like John Wolford's description. He says this book, the theme is triumph in Christ. We learned this morning that the word joy and the word rejoicing are in this book more than any other New Testament book. We saw this morning 6 times we find the word joy in these short 4 chapters, 104 verses. But we also find the word rejoice 11 times. And of course, we live in a world tonight, everybody's hunting for joy. But our joy can only be found in Jesus. You know, it's not until Christ is all you have that you discover Christ is all you need. Preacher, I've lost everything. Well, you haven't lost Jesus. And by the way, to our Arminian friends, he ain't lost you either. Amen? He never says to the Holy Spirit, I wonder where Todd is. Chandra might say that, but the Holy Ghost never has to. Hey, you know why? Because our joy is found in Jesus. Now, I'm not going to re-preach tonight, but let's quickly review. We saw in verse 1 that opening statement, Paul and Timotheus. Again, I won't re-preach it, but we see from the launching of this foundational set of verses tonight, the special brotherhood. These three inaugural words form a beautiful conjunction between the aged apostle and the eager young disciple. As I said this morning, they are an example of respect and revitalization and resourcefulness and revival. Timothy no doubt kept the old man young and stirred up, and the old man Paul's ministry helped ground in wisdom and scripture the young man. They are inseparable. Paul has no disdain looking down on Timothy. Timothy has no disrespect looking up at Paul. They have formed more than a friendship. They are family. And oh, I don't want to re-preach it, but can I say tonight we need a revival of young people wanting to be close to older people, and older people loving and caring about young people. You know, all of my life I've heard Dr. Ennis people say, well, the young people are crazier today than they've ever been. Do you know what? Every generation says that. And the truth is, young people are crazy today, amen. But the truth matters, the crowd that was old when you and I were young, they thought we were crazy too. But thank God for the young people that had respect for their elders and the senior saints who didn't disconnect and disassociate from the young people. Hey, listen, it is a glorious, glorious day when young people are connected to their senior saints, and senior saints are still believing in and investing in the next generation. We see the special brotherhood, but we also saw in verse 1, Paul opens up his inaugural introduction. He says, the servants of Jesus Christ. We see the servant branding. I said it this morning, the early apostles gloried in the branding marks of the Lord. They were not ashamed of Christ, and they were servants above and before any other title they had. And would tonight there be a revival of servanthood in the church of Jesus Christ? You know, I got thinking about all the work that happened up there on the hill in the last few weeks. That work is largely, much of it's been volunteer work. Some of the drywall work and stuff, of course, was professionals. But you say, why did folks give that extra time? To be a blessing. Amen. To be a blessing. You say, well, what do I get paid for? Well, if you get paid here, you won't get paid there. I've said to our staff often, and I say it tonight as a reverberation, every single one of us full-time staff members in our church, we're not getting paid to be here tonight. Y'all catch this? Pastor Jenkins, Pastor Money, Pastor Shantz, Pastor Heist, Pastor Alex, we're not working tonight. We're going to church like everybody else. We work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What we do for the Lord on Wednesday night and on Saturday and Sunday, that ain't work. That's our ministry. That's our service. If you're counting your Sunday as a preacher, as part of your work, you ain't going to get any credit for it in heaven. I used to say to my staff when I was back in Michigan, fellas, our laymen work all week and work on bus routes and work their tail off on Sunday. We don't count Sunday and Saturday as work hours. That's ministry hours. That's servanthood. Amen. But we see more, and I'm not going to stay there tonight. We see the saintly brethren. Paul goes on to say, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. I'm not going to re-preach any of that tonight, but I want you to see the next two statements. He said, with thee, say it out loud, with thee what? We're still in verse 1. With thee, what's the last phrase? With the bishops and deacons. I want to, number 4 tonight, focus on the serving bishops. Now, I could really go on a tangent tonight. I won't, but I want you to catch this. My heart is so blessed, Brother Ken, when I see the apostle address these to whom he believed deserve recognition. He believed it was in order. While he is praising the saints of Philippi, he makes special mention of the bishops and the deacons. You say, what's Paul doing here, preacher? He's showing courtesy. He's showing respect. He's showing appreciation, not because he is gifted with some special kind-hearted disposition. He's doing it because he has experienced in his life the gift of God's grace. Can I say that again tonight? He's not being courteous. He's not being respectful. He's not showing appreciation because he has some disposition of kind-heartedness. He's doing it because he experienced in his life the gift of God's grace. You say, what's the point tonight, preacher? Grace doesn't work in the heart of a believer, making them thankful, making them appreciative, making them kind, and making them thoughtful. Amen. If you're ornery and edgy all the time, it's not because you have a disposition that way. It's because you ain't right with God. Paul doesn't have to say this, Brother Mike, but while he's opening the book, he's sending this letter to the church of Philippi. He said, I want to make sure the bishops and the deacons know that I see them. I appreciate them. I know about their labor of love. Paul is simply showing you tonight, folks, that if you are selfish and you are thoughtless and you are short-fused and unthankful and ungrateful tonight, it's probably because you're not saved. Thank you for the one amen, Paula. Well, I just come from a long line of grumpy people. No, that's your old nature. How'd you get this out of this? How'd you not get it out of this? Where did we get this idea, Brother Ken, it's okay to be rude to people? I mean, we literally have road rage personalities. People just on edge. You know why you blow up all the time? Because you need to get saved. I ain't getting a bit of help right now. That's good preaching, Brother Jenkins. Keep on preaching. Paul's showing courtesy. He's showing respect. He's showing appreciation. You know why? Listen, my friend, he is showing you and I tonight that if you were hell bound with a hammer down, ought to be in hell with your neck broke, and God forgave you, and God saved you, and He put you in a family of God, it ought to leak out every orifice of your body. How'd I get here? I don't deserve this. God's been so good to me. It's good to be a part of this. It's good to be here. Hey, listen, my friend, we don't deserve anything tonight. Everything we got's a gift from the Heavenly Father. Amen. I pray we'd have a revival, Brother Terry, of just old-fashioned courtesy again in our country. Mom and Dad, teach your kids to say thank you. Teach your kids how to be respectful when they're around adults. Kids ought to be a blessing. See, nobody ever invites us over. They ain't got a big enough insurance policy. They can't handle your kid tearing the house down. Smile. I'm not being mean. I'm preaching tonight, but I'm really trying to just exhort you for a minute. It is so delightful, Brother Terry, to talk to children whose parents have spent some time training them. Mom and Dad, I'm not picking on you tonight, but be careful that iPad's not your child's parent. You can see that. I'm not being mean, please. I'm not being mean, but you can see the children that spend half the day watching the iPad. They don't even want to talk to you. Get out of my way. I'm watching a movie. Ain't got time to deal with you. Brother Ken, how do we raise kids without iPads? I know it's the day we're living in. I'm not picking on y'all for the culture. You got, hey, but let's do it different in the way the world does. Let's teach our children to be appreciative. Let's teach our children to be courteous. Let's teach our children to be kind. Let's teach our children to be respectful. Someone takes your family out to dinner. What a glorious thing to have your 5-year-old, your 4-year-old, your 7-year-old, your 17-year-old to go by and say, Mr. Leonard, thank you for paying for our meal today. It was sure a blessing to hang out with your family today. You have a 5-year-old say that, you're going to get invited out again. I'm not even preaching. I'm just messing around right now. Amen. You know what I've discovered, Brother Johnny? Thank you for that amen up there. Have you ever noticed that fountains often spray water up? But that's not the way it is with a waterfall. With a waterfall, the water doesn't go up. The water does what? Goes down. You say, what does that got to do with the message tonight? You know what most of us, what I just said in the last couple of minutes is awkward for most of us because we know we should, But trying to be thoughtful or to teach thoughtfulness and courteousness and nicety is like a fountain. You're trying to make it go up. But something glorious happens when someone gets genuinely born again by the grace of God. The deep, full, overpowering thankfulness and gratitude that comes down from the God of glory into the heart of a believer is organic. You don't have to make it happen. It's natural. You know why so many young people are not grateful? One is we haven't taught them. Number two is they probably haven't been born again. Well, that's quiet again. I'm just piddling tonight. I ain't even preaching. The fountain is effort. Always got to have a motor. Got to have a pump somewhere, but not with a waterfall. It is sure good to be around people. It's just dripping off of them. Now, I know y'all know her warts. You know all of her life journey problems. But what about Marion Hassel? Now, she maybe, there was a time she was mean. I don't know. I did hear that she was the author work of all ages in junior church. A little boy or girl come forward wanting to get saved. Say, son, you don't want to burn in the flames of hell, do you? I mean, I heard she was a very persuasive soul winner. Amen. But when you see Miss Hassel, I saw her this morning coming in, bent over, and I said, Miss Hassel, and boy, she looked up to me, Brother Ken, with a big old grin from ear to ear and said, hey, preacher, it's good to be in church today. That's what I call waterfall, not fountain Christianity. It just dripping down. It's just dripping down. And part of the reason I'm preaching this is because I need it preached at me. I am real good, Brother Jeff, at whining and complaining a lot. You say, really? Yeah, my wife will tell you about it if you ask her, but don't ask her. I confess it so it's under the blood. Amen. I'm as good as they come. I mean, I got the bumper sticker, the t-shirt, and I'm good at whining and complaining. But the problem is there's another man that lives inside of here. He's my new man, and he don't even know what the word complain means. He never gets blessed without wanting to say thank you to five or six different people to make sure he don't miss nobody. See, what courtesy and kindness and appreciation and thoughtfulness is, it's that spring that dwells up inside of the heart of a child of God. No matter how hard you try to keep it in, it just leaks out. And I ain't picking on none of y'all tonight that are real stoic and serious. But there's a few folks around here tonight that don't know nothing about being serious. Now, it might be because they're raised in a wild open, half crazy situation. But listen to me. Be careful you have enough God in you that it leaks out occasionally. Don't be so stoic and so starchy that if God blesses you. I remember years ago, Brother Todd, taking seven of my men to a camp meeting in Dayton, Ohio. And I've told this in other messages. I won't retell the whole story tonight. But I remember all the way there, it was about a 7-8 hour drive. And the whole way we were all sort of preparing ourselves, saying, you know, I ain't getting caught up in nothing. I ain't getting involved in no flesh or nothing. I ain't going to just get caught up in we'd heard about all this crazy shouting and excitement at this camp meeting. We were just prepping ourselves. We was going to keep it under control. And boy, the first night we did pretty good. It was a good sermon, a couple sermons, good singing, good music. We kept it under control. And then the next night, I won't retell the whole story, but the former International Vice President of the Outlaw Motorcycle Club, Brother Dave Spurgeon, had gotten saved and reached in jail by that church. And God not only saved him, but called him to preach. And the federal judge, instead of throwing the book at him, gave him a bunch of grace because of what God was doing in his life. And he had put a tether on him. And that night, after a couple of years, old Dave's Spurgeon preaching now in the Bible Institute, wide open for Jesus. That was the night they was going to cut his tether off in that camping service. He looked like Charles Spurgeon, and he used to be an international vice president of the Outlaw Motor Show Club. They brought him up front, put his big old fat leg up on the Lord's Supper table, and had a bit of those high wire kind of cutters, and they were taking that tether off. And while they were doing it, there was probably 400 of us packed in that auditorium, and a fella came in the back door over here, Brother Todd, playing bagpipes, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I don't even know how to explain what happened next. It just started in our feet and began to make its way up our legs into our, and I'm telling you, it got so foggy in there while they was, that crowd got to shouting. That crowd began to stand and give God the glory. And all I know is an hour and a half later, I was leaning against the wall, just blown away with what God had done. Nobody had even been able to preach. The glory fell on that place, Brother Mike. My good preacher friend of mine, Brother Willard Thomas, now in heaven, looked at me and he said, Brother, he said, this crowd's drunk in the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget those words. Well, I ain't in none of that kind of stuff. Well, you let that waterfall start flowing. And there'll be some shout, there'll be some thanksgiving come out of you. You don't even know's in there. We see the serving bishops. Can I quickly tonight notice, if you will, verse number 2. Grace be unto you, the apostle writes, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, let me ask you to think for a moment tonight about the sacred blessing. And what sacred blessing, preacher? Look what he said to that crowd. Grace be unto you. And we say that and we see that when we read the Bible and we think it's just a salutation. You know, it's some kind of an introduction. But it's a whole lot more than that. Grace be unto you. Man, I've had a lot of things said to me in my life. But I ain't never had nothing said to me I cherish more tonight than hearing the word grace and my name in those same sentence. How many tonight do you fully understand that you and I do not deserve the grace that God has extended to us? And yet when God looks at you tonight, here's what he says. Brother Matt, he don't look at any of your warts. He don't look at any of your failures. He don't look at any of your faults. He says, grace. When God looks at you, that's the word that comes to his mind. Grace be unto you. Well, say, you ain't nothing special, preacher. You deserve to be in hell. I sure do tonight. But that ain't the way the Lord feels. Every time he looks at me, I'm one of his dear, darling sons. He loves me like he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is it's called grace. Amen. Grace. God's grace. Hey, listen, it's so amazing that John Newton said that he would do it for such a worm as I. But he doesn't just say grace. He says, in peace. I know y'all saw the news. It's happened in the last 24 hours or so. I haven't said much about it today other than I'm praying for our president. I'm praying for our troops. And thanks be to God, they chopped off the head of that snake. I ain't going to preach no more about that tonight other than to say we need to be praying for them folks in Iran tonight. That God will give them. These are people that they're not, some of the countries we've tried to help know nothing about liberty, know nothing about freedom, but Iran once knew something about freedom. Let's pray tonight that the forces that remember the days of the Shah will say we want peace more than we want this tyrannical, this religious, terroristic, this overbearing. It's almost like they killed Hitler yesterday. I don't know how well you know your history, but they killed Hitler yesterday. He wasn't a nice old grandpa figure. You know what them precious people would love to have in the land of Iran tonight? They'd love to have peace. Peace. Did you hear Brother Khalid last Sunday? He said, if something like this happens, we're going to be able to start churches in Iran. Woo! They're not just going to have political peace. They might end up having a real experience with the peace of God. Do you know that grace and peace are intertwined and inseparable blessings? Grace is the bountiful mother of all other graces. Grace is a love that never grows weary. Human love tires, but divine love is eternal. It's unlimited. It's inexhaustible. And while God's child's love can tire and grow cold and intermittent, thank God tonight that grace loves on, and it loves on, and it loves on tonight. Listen, its bright rays of sunshine, they extend forever. Grace is the energy of divine affection ministering to the heart of unlovely sinners. Don't miss the connection tonight. Where grace abides, peace will dwell. Did you hear what I said? You said, we ain't got no peace in our home, preacher. Well, y'all aren't missing peace, you're missing grace. Let me say that again. The reason there ain't no peace is because there ain't no grace. It doesn't say peace and grace. It says grace and peace. Peace follows grace. I'm not saying we should excuse Brother Mike's bad behavior, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. The only way anyone can stomach any of us tonight is because of the grace of God. We'd all be ornering a hornet. We'd be ugly. We'd be unkind. We'd be cantankerous nonstop if it weren't for the grace of God. Half the ornery people you know, it's because they just don't know the grace of God. Let me ask you, how much grace are you giving your spouse tonight? How much grace are you giving your children tonight, mom and dad? Hey, young'uns, how much grace you giving your mom and dad? We're at odds with each other. That's where grace comes in. If you had grace for people, you'd have peace with people. Peace is the organic outflow of grace at work in my heart. Can I say that again? Peace is the organic outflow of grace at work in my heart. You don't have to try to have peace. If you got grace, you'll have peace. Can I say this without getting sidetracked tonight? The reason you fuss and fight with most people is because you're demanding perfection, but you're not providing perfection. I'm a picky person. I'm not easy to please. I know that. And so you know what I got to do, Brother Todd? I got to bathe my attitude in grace regularly. I mean, when it comes to the things of God, I want them to be done right. I'm not going to apologize for that. I think whatsoever your hand finds to do, the Bible still says do it with your might. Do it as good as you can. What happens if someone else is as good as you can is not the same standard as yours? Some people are lazy, Brother Mike, but some people are just limited in their ability. Now, if you're limited in your ability, don't satisfy yourself with that. If you can get better, be better. What do you do when someone does their best? We had a little youngin' that was in our church back in Michigan. She just was simple-minded. I'm not going to say much more to describe her, but she was simple. And she used to draw me pictures, Brother Jeff. I mean, just about every service, there was a picture that I got given after the service, Sunday nights especially, that she had drawn for me while I was preaching. And I had so many of them. I mean, we're talking about weekly for years. I would catch myself, Brother Todd, when I would clean my Bible out each week, just setting them aside and eventually they'd end up in the trash can. I wasn't being disrespectful. I loved it. I'm just trying to keep my desk clean. And one day I had been given Sunday night church is over, and she walks up, she's all grinning, and she hands me one. But this week was a little different. It looked like somebody was standing behind a box or something. I said, "Who's that?" She goes, "That's you, preacher." She goes, I won't mock the way she talked. She talked in a way that you could tell she was simple. And she said, "I drew a picture of you while you was preaching." And like many weeks, Monday or Tuesday, I don't know what it was, Brother Ken, I started to clean my desk off, and it seemed like the Holy Ghost said, "Don't you dare put that in a trash can." I looked at it a little closer, and you understand, it was stick people. It wasn't no Rembrandt. And while I was debating what I'll do with that, here's what the Lord said to me, "Brother Money, she did the best she knew how to do." I wonder how many times I've just messed up, fouled up everything I've touched, and the devil said, "Burn him, throw him away, he's worthless, he's just an absolute idiot." And the Lord said, "You leave him alone, he did the best he knew how to do." Amen. Talk about a sacred blessing. I'm all out of time tonight. Look at the last statement of verse number 2. We're done. "And grace be unto you and peace." Say it with me out loud. "From God our" what? "Father and the" what? "Lord Jesus Christ." Can I end tonight by focusing on the saving benefactor? Brother Money, where does the vast reservoir of God's grace and peace originate? Where does it come from? You know what Paul told us in our text tonight? It comes from God the Father, and it comes from God the Son. The apostle is tracing all supreme gifts to the primary home that they originate from, only in the sovereign heights of our Father and our Savior's high holiness and unconditional love, my friend, should we find ourselves in a prostrate position. We're way too proud tonight. We're way too self-confident. We're way too self-absorbed tonight. Every time, Brother Will, we get looking around at that grace and peace that God has given to us, it ought to be hard to keep ourselves in an upright position. Our knees ought to be wobbling when we fall to our face and say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, how good you've been to me." We're talking tonight about the saving benefactor. Y'all know what James 1:17 says, don't you? "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That means every good thing that's ever happened to you, he made it happen, and he ain't changed his mind about nothing. I want you to stand with me, if you will. Miss Joy, make your way to the piano. I'm all done, but can I admonish tonight and at the same time welcome my brothers and my sisters to come tonight and kneel around this altar before our Heavenly Father and our dear, dear Lord Jesus Christ and just offer up some praise and some thanksgiving tonight for all the grace and all the peace that he has extended to you and me. He deserves some praise tonight. He deserves some adoration tonight. He's such a good, good God.